the news that the man in charge of U.S. forces in Iraq, Afghanistan, and beyond is leaving his job put the spotlight on another aspect of that job. As head of U.S. Central Command, Admiral William Fallon had a diplomatic and political influence. Case in point, last fall, when Egypt's president wanted to know if America was serious about war with Iran, he got his answer from Admiral Fallon. It was an answer the White House didn't like, and that has something to do with his early departure. Washington Post reporter Dana Priest has written extensively about U.S. military command. She joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
How powerful are the regional commanders-in-chief?
So they're a lot more powerful than most people realize, because what they do is usually behind the scenes. They don't travel with the press. They usually have their meetings with such high-level presidents often, their counterparts in other countries, not just military commanders. And they have, if you look at their staffs and their resources, many, many more resources than, for instance, people who are supposed to be at their level at the State Department, including ambassadors and regional state division chiefs. So they travel the world all the time with these large entourages. And in the toolkit of diplomacy and international relations that the United States has to offer other countries, they have by far the most money. Both they can offer allies or potential allies weapons or military training, and they also can offer them something even more than that, which is prestige. They come with four stars on their shoulders and the whole backing of the military.
And to what extent do they shape U.S. foreign policy, not just military policy?
Well, they are not supposed to shape it. It is a job of the State Department. However, because of the imbalance between the two departments, they do play, and they have, especially since the end of the Cold War, they do play a role as diplomats. They don't really like to say that, but in the book that I wrote several years ago, General Anthony Zinni, who was Fallon's predecessor in the Central Command region, called himself and the other regional commanders proconsuls, meaning that when they go out there, they do more than military-to-military relations. And yeah, the same was true with Admiral Fallon.
And just briefly, is there influence out of line in any way? I mean, what are the risks that these generals, people in uniform, overstep their bounds?
Well, if you look, there is a structural imbalance in the government that has grown up since the Cold War, and it began long before this administration, that has given the military a far more central role in our relations with other countries than was envisioned originally. And in part because the State Department has so atrophied under various administrations, and the role of these regional commanders, their staffs, and their prestige within their own military organizations has risen, they have taken on a great role. Now, whether they forge their own foreign policy depends on them, and it depends on the interagency process that they come back to negotiate what they've done or get permission for what they want to do back here. But there are cases in which they have definitely pushed policy. The counterterrorism policy is one of them.
Thank you very much. Dana Priest is a reporter for The Washington Post and the author of The Mission, Waging War and Keeping Peace with America's Military, speaking in the wake of the departure or the announcement that he will be departing of Admiral William Fallon.